Welcome back to Boundaries That Stick, 5 reasons why your boundaries don't work and what to do about it. This is lesson 3, escaping the compliance trap. I'm Brent Peek, your coach on this journey. In our last lesson, we explored the foundational aspects of boundaries. We talked about the definition of boundaries, the types and importance of boundaries, and I gave you a specific set of steps to create and communicate your boundaries to somebody else. So now we're going to begin to dive in to the 5 most common boundary traps that can undermine your efforts in setting boundaries. And the first one in this lesson that we're going to go through now is the compliance trap. This trap involves the misconception that boundaries are about changing the other person's behavior rather than setting standards for yourself. So let's check in with our friend Jennifer, that busy mom who tends to take on a bit too much. In addition to her professional and family responsibilities, Jennifer often feels overwhelmed by the constant demands from her extended family, particularly her mother-in-law. So her mother-in-law frequently drops by unannounced, disrupting Jennifer's carefully planned schedule and adding to her stress. Despite repeatedly asking her mother-in-law to call before visiting, the surprise visits continue. Jennifer believes that setting this boundary should have changed her mother-in-law's behavior, but nothing's changed. And as a result, Jennifer feels frustrated, resentful, and feels like her requests are being ignored. So feeling powerless and undervalued, Jennifer's relationship with her mother-in-law becomes strained. She starts to internalize the problem, thinking that her mother-in-law simply doesn't respect her boundaries, which further erodes her patience and her peace of mind. Instead of taking proactive steps to enforce her boundary, though, such as not answering the door when unexpected visits occur, Jennifer continues to hope that her mother-in-law will eventually understand and respect her needs. But this only reinforces the unwanted behavior, leaving Jennifer stuck in the compliance trap, where she feels that her efforts to set boundaries are futile. Jennifer's experience highlights the pain points of falling into the compliance trap: unresolved frustration, deteriorating relationships, and a sense of powerlessness that undermines her ability to manage her time and maintain her well-being. So, what is the compliance trap? A little more about that. The compliance trap happens when you believe that the purpose of setting a boundary is to control or change the behavior of someone else, to get them to comply with what you're asking for. This is a misconception, and it leads to frustration and resentment because it shifts the focus away from your own actions and standards, placing the responsibility for change on other people. I'm not saying that you don't have a right to be accommodated, to have your request respected or honored, but we're not going to get that every time. And what are we going to do when we don't? It's been said that we cause our own suffering by expecting others to change instead of changing ourselves. A successful boundary isn't always one in which we get what we hoped for from the other person. Sometimes it means we have to follow through on a backup plan. But if we don't have a backup plan, and our only option for success is the compliance of the other person, then we end up creating our own misery and resort to controlling or out of control behaviors. So here's a key insight for you. Boundaries are your personal standards. They're not about controlling other people. They're about defining your personal standard and your response. It's essential to focus on what you can control, your own actions and your reactions. So here's a simple way to fix the compliance trap. Focus on your response, not theirs. You've got to have that backup plan, step 2, and you have to be willing to follow through on it, step 4, the 4 steps we went through in the last lesson. To avoid the compliance trap, you've got to shift your focus from trying to change the other person and start managing your own response. You still clearly communicate your boundaries, but you've got to regulate your own response and then take steps to follow through on your boundary when it is not accommodated. So keep in mind those 4 steps at setting boundaries. Number 1, you have to identify what you need. Number 2, you have to have a backup plan of what you're going to do if your needs are not accommodated. The compliance trap leaves out step two. Step three, you share your preference and your backup plan assertively and respectfully. And step four, if they don't accommodate, you follow through on your backup plan. The compliance trap leaves that part out, and it leaves you feeling helpless, powerless, stuck, overwhelmed, disrespected. You can't make someone else respect you. You can't make someone else follow through on your boundary. Only you can follow through if they choose not to. And that's where you've got to follow through with that step four. So, coming back to Jennifer, our busy mom, our overwhelmed, underappreciated, growing boundary setter here. Feeling increasingly overwhelmed by her mother-in-law's frequent unannounced visits. And Jennifer decides to get out of the compliance trap and shift her focus away from trying to change her mother-in-law's behavior and start focusing on what she needs to do. So Jennifer clearly communicated her boundary once more. And she said, I need you to call before visiting, call or text. If you arrive without calling or texting, I will not let you in because I need to stick to my schedule. I have things I'm working on. So one afternoon, her mother-in-law shows up unannounced again, and Jennifer is prepared to enforce her boundary. Now, maybe she had relaxed the boundary a couple of times with some reminders. But, and you can do that if you want to, but at some point you have to enforce it. And so this time she did not answer the door. Her mother-in-law, feeling ignored, starts knocking louder, calling Jennifer's phone, and Jennifer felt that tension rising. And she ended up sending a polite but firm text message to her mother-in-law that said, I've asked you to call before visiting. I am currently busy and can't come to the door right now. Now, her mother-in-law creates a little bit of drama. She overreacts. I can't promise you that when you follow through on these steps that everyone's going to respond appropriately, but you still have the right and the option to follow through on the boundary for yourself. Now, for Jennifer, despite feeling a bit of guilt and discomfort, she stuck to her boundary. She didn't engage in an argument through the door or over the phone. You don't debate these things. You simply repeat yourself as many times as you feel you need to, but you stay consistent with the boundary. So instead, Jennifer takes a deep breath, reminds herself of the importance of maintaining her boundary to protect her well-being. Eventually, people will catch on. There might be a bit of dumpster fire drama at the beginning, but eventually people learn. And over time, Jennifer's mother-in-law did figure this out. Now, she probably said whatever she was going to say behind Jennifer's back to other people, and there's not a whole lot you can do about that sometimes. But Jennifer was able to maintain her peace by upholding her boundaries. And eventually, other people will learn. And eventually, her mother-in-law respected that boundary and quit coming around unannounced. So, this is a difficult approach. I get it. And it can be very challenging initially, but you've got to start somewhere. And if other people have been used to you not having boundaries, it is going to be a grinding of the gears as you begin to set them. So you can be patient. You can be compassionate about it. You can acknowledge the impact that it has on someone else when they're feeling hurt by your boundary. Okay. But you're not responsible for that. But you can still express compassion for that. But there's going to be a bit of drama at first. And so it is up to you to follow through, stick to it, and eventually people will adjust around you to your boundary. So some key takeaways from this lesson. Number one, the compliance trap is about that misconception that boundaries are about changing someone else's behavior, that the boundary only works when they do what I wanted them to do. Nope, that's control. That's not a boundary. It is about you holding to the boundary, probably even more so than it is about them accommodating you. If they accommodate you, great, that's a win-win, all right? But if they don't, it's up to you. Number two, effective boundaries are your personal standards that focus on your actions, your responses to take care of your needs. And number three, you've got to clearly communicate them, every piece of it, not just what you're hoping for from the other person, but what your backup plan is, and then take consistent steps to uphold that boundary. So grab that notebook, grab that journal. I want you to answer these three questions. Number one, I want you to think of a time when you tried to set a boundary but ended up feeling frustrated because the other person didn't change. What could you have done differently to focus on your own response? How can you be consistent? Did you have a backup plan? Did you let them know? And did you follow through? What could you do differently? Number two, identify a current situation where you are considering setting a boundary. It might be something you wrote about in the last lesson, maybe something new that you're thinking of after hearing this one today. Identify a current situation where you need to set a boundary and write out your plan. Go through those four steps. What do I need? What's my backup plan going to be? How am I going to say it? And how am I going to follow through? What actions are you going to take to enforce that? And then number three, write out what you're going to say to set that boundary. Keep it brief. Keep it respectful. Don't apologize for what you need. Be assertive about it. And write that out for yourself ahead of time. What are you going to say? Bounce it off of another loved one or someone who cares about your boundaries and is willing to help you figure out how you're going to say it. So number three, write down how you're going to communicate that boundary clearly and assertively. All right, in this lesson, we explored the compliance trap, how to avoid it by focusing on your actions, your responses, rather than believing that the only successful boundary is one that's accommodated by somebody else. By setting personal standards and consistently enforcing them, you maintain your boundaries effectively. In our next lesson, we're going to talk about the justification trap. And we'll discuss another common boundary trap and how to overcome it. So stay tuned, and I will see you in the next lesson.